Psychologist from the University of Washington, Anthony Greenwald, joins us this morning to discuss the hidden biases we all carry from a lifetime of exposure to cultural attitudes about age, gender, race, ethnicity, religion, social class, sexuality, disability status, and nationality. Blindspot is the author of the new book, co-written by Greenwald, and it's a metaphor for the portion of the mind that houses hidden biases. In the book, the authors explain and question the extent to which our perceptions of social groups, without our awareness or conscious control, shape our likes and dislikes and our judgments about people's character, abilities, and potential. The book is Blindspot: Hidden Biases of Good People. The authors reveal hidden biases based on their experience with the implicit association test, a method that has revolutionized the way scientists learn about the human mind and that gives us a glimpse into what lies within the metaphoric blind spot. We welcome Anthony Greenwald to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's a delight to have you aboard. What brought the two of you to this particular subject of ultimately pioneering this test, the IAT, the Implicit Association Test, to look at our biases and these blind spots?
Well, it has to do with a revolution that's been going on in our field of psychology since the early 1980s, and that was about the time that Mahzarin Banaji came to Ohio State University, where I was on the faculty at the time, to work with me. And we were so impressed by this work, which started in the field of cognitive psychology, our field is social psychology, that we started looking for ways to apply it in our domain. And just gradually, by paying attention to what others were doing, we figured out that we might develop some new techniques. And we proposed a bunch of them, and the implicit association test was one of about seven or eight ideas we had. And remarkably, it turned out to be an amazingly effective research tool.
What is it? How does it work?
Well, people think that usually you measure attitudes and stereotypes, which are the kinds of things we focus on in the book, Blind Spot, by asking people questions about what they believe. The IAT doesn't ask questions. It gives people something that looks more like a game on the computer, in which they see a series of words, a series of images, sometimes both words and images, and they're asked to classify them using just two keys. And if we set it up so that the words and images that are to be classified by the same response, one with the left hand, one with the right hand, if they are associated, this task proves remarkably easy for our subjects. But if they are not associated, it proves difficult. And with the race test, which is the one that has been used most, we find that people, about 75% of Americans, have difficulty when the test asks them to give the same keyboard response to rapidly classify black faces together with pleasant-meaning words with one hand and white faces together with unpleasant-meaning words with the other hand. They go slow in that condition, much faster if we put the white faces together with pleasant words and the black faces together with unpleasant words. When I created this test in about 1995 and tried it on myself, I was just amazed at the difference in time. And we could see that it was going to be a good measure of association strengths, which is what we are using it for, and those map onto stereotypes and attitudes and biases.
So bridge the gap for me that I seem to be having with the idea of those associations and a bias. So if I am slow in one way, how is that then perceived as a bias?
I'll give you an example. Another area in which we focus on is gender. And what we show in our test is that people, many, over 75%, including women, have an easier time putting male names together with words reflecting work and career, and female names together with words reflecting home and family. So this, we call this a gender career stereotype that involves associating men more with work and women more with home and family. Now, I've been trying to think of a way to bring home this idea, and I've stumbled on a phrase that I tried to construct as a parallel of the glass ceiling, which is an obstacle to women in the workplace. I'm calling it the invisible apron, which is the association of women with home and family. And when women are in the workplace, others see them, and they see themselves often as somewhat out of place, like a fish out of water. And you might think of it, and here's where the invisible apron comes in, as men having an association of their women colleagues with home and family more than with work and career, and women also having that association. For men, it may lead to actions that give the women fewer opportunities. For women, it may make them feel a little uncomfortable in the workplace and eventually lead to them dropping out of the competition of a career.
How then, with what you just said, do we delineate between how someone feels about themselves and the position that they are in and their self-reflection versus how they feel about others?
People apply the same stereotypes to themselves when they are in the stereotype group as others apply to them. That's one of the surprising things that we learn from our research, and it's shown much more with our IAT measure than it is with self-report measures. So these are, in a way, two sides of the same coin, but they operate differently, one from the outside affecting people who are stereotyped, one from the inside affecting the people who are stereotyped, but in terms of their own expectations about themselves. This is, to some extent, a strange idea, a novel idea that comes out of this revolution in psychology that I mentioned earlier.
With this information, once someone is tested and once someone takes the IAT, what do you do with the results? How are those read?
Well, we track the results just in terms of looking at we ask people some what we call demographic questions, so we learn about their whether they're male, female, their age, their race, and a few other things. And so we relate our we're able to relate our results to that. But people who visit our website, which is at implicit.harvard.edu, to take tests, or there are four tests that are available in the book Blindspot. They are totally anonymous. We don't track any information about individual people, and that's by policy. We just don't want to have people at all concerned that when they take tests on our site that their results might be widely known or stored in some database in a way that's identifiable.
One of the things that you talk about in the book that I found fascinating is when this all develops and when these blind spots occur. And this process starts really upon birth. I mean, it doesn't take us long before some of these blind spots start to occur within our brains.
We believe that's correct. At the moment, the IAT, which is a test that one takes sitting down in front of a computer, has been brought to age 5, so we can actually administer this to preschoolers, 4.5 or 5 years old. We are looking for better ways to try to measure the same things with still younger children, because these associations with race and gender that we measure in adults are also there in the 5-year-olds for the most part. So we know that they're developing very early. We don't know exactly when, but we suspect it's probably starting in the second year of life, conceivably earlier, but we just need to develop the methods that will take us down to these younger ages.
So when you get the results and someone sees where they are, I assume that with many people, they gain a sense of self-awareness.
This is what the test does. It tells you about something that's inside your head that you almost, very often, you didn't know what was there. This is what it told me, and close to 15 years ago, I stopped being surprised by the new things I was learning as we created an increasing variety of these IATs. Now, people would like to change what's inside their head when they discover this, and I can understand that. I sometimes would like to do that, too. Turns out that these are very well established. We suspect it's because they are continually reinforced in our social and cultural environment, so it's not easy to change these things.
You go to great efforts in the book to explain that a blind spot, a bias, a hidden bias, is not the same thing as a prejudice. That's a very important point to make in this.
It is an important point, because when we say we're studying racial attitudes and stereotypes, people think we are studying hostility of people towards other groups. In fact, what our test measures has nothing to do with hostility, which is why we very deliberately call what the race test that we have, we call what it measures an automatic race preference, and many Americans have an automatic preference for white relative to black. It does not mean that they are hostile to black, that they dislike black. It just means that they have a preference for white. And to us, that's a very important point, because we think that the understanding of prejudice as hostility is something that was true a long time ago. It's true to some extent today, but much less so than in the past. And it's more important to understand how biases that affect people in the workplace and elsewhere can be governed by these preferences that actually involve no hostility.
And it seems as though, and you certainly get, I got the sense in reading the book, and I get the sense in talking to you, that you're just starting to fully realize what can be attained with this information of how it can be used and what we can find out about ourselves.
Right. The IAT has been picked up for research by scientists all over the world and in all types of areas, and this has mainly led to a proliferation of a wide variety of different tests. What we haven't done in research that we need to do is to do what's called longitudinal research, in which we track the same people over time and see how these things develop. This is one of the reasons we're interested in developing the test for young children, so we can start this. Now, this actually takes an investment of money, so one of the things that is holding up getting this research going is trying to arrange for the funding that can produce these longitudinal studies that are not cheap to do.
The name of the book is Blind Spot: Hidden Biases of Good People. It is published by Delacorte Press. Anthony Greenwald, I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. I wish you all the luck in the world with your research, and I thank you for sharing your expertise with us this morning.
Thanks for being interested.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Blind Spot: Hidden Biases of Good People. The book is published by Delacorte. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.